This is Gloria Minot Presents.
My guest this segment is Tasola Hajitofi, A Refugee's Quest to Reclaim Her Nation's Stolen Heritage. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
During World War II, the Nazis stole countless pieces of art and hid them away. Some over-the-hill art scholars, historians, architects, and other experts form a unit to retrieve as many of these stolen masterpieces as possible. The mission became even more urgent when the team learned about Hitler's Nero Decree, which orders destruction of the artworks if the Third Reich falls. Caught in a race against time, the men risked their lives to protect some of mankind's greatest achievements. We're talking about The Monuments Men, directed by George Clooney. It was a movie that came out in 2014. We're talking about another icon hunter this morning, and she is, again, Tasola Hajitofi. Who are you?
Who am I? I'm a woman born in Famagusta, Cyprus, and became a refugee at the age of 14 years old when the Turkish invasion took place in 1974 in Cyprus. So I ended up in the UK and then in Holland, waiting to go back home to Cyprus. Well, I'm still waiting because after all these years, the city I come from is a ghost city. So my inability to go back home drove me to bring the looted antiquities of my country back home.
We have heard about art pieces, famous pieces, and other things from antiquity being taken from museums and heritage sites around the world. We have heard about the Elgin marbles going back to Greece and other places. How did you become interested in pursuing seeking the restoration of these artworks?
Yes, I will tell you that. But first, I want to thank people like George Clooney that made The Monuments Men and brought awareness of the art trafficking. Any one of you in the media that brings attention to this subject, whether it's cultural heritage, religious heritage, it is fantastic because the times I began, it was a very, very lonely road. Because when there is war or destruction, people tend to think that the loss of lives is number one priority, and yes, it is. However, destroying cultural heritage destroys the soul of communities, the shared memories, and that in times of peace, in post-war, they can be the ambassadors for building trust to reconstruct the nation's future with the ruins of the past. And I discovered that when I went to the Netherlands and I became an activist telling what happened to me as a refugee in Cyprus, and I was targeted by art traffickers and controversial dealers who wanted to sell their information and antiquities via me back to my government or the Church of Cyprus. And then my Pandora box of the war opened up, because up until that moment, all of those scaring, petrifying, shattered experience of war, I just parked somewhere in my brain and I walked next to myself. I was not ready to revisit them. And I think one is never ready to do that. And bringing back the antiquities helped me to deal with that pain.
Would you discuss the impact of war and what is called cultural cleansing?
Well, when I think that every time there is war, looting has been happening for centuries. And when there is war, of course there's killing of people, and we pursue the enemy, when they pursue the civilians out of their territory, we call it ethnic cleansing. But when one destroys evidence of the existence of that civilization, we call it cultural cleansing. And in fact, I understood by working with some of the best lawyers worldwide and tribunals that ethnic cleansing, if you can prove deliberate cultural cleansing, you can call it a genocide. And this brings me back to the Nazi-looted art. To repatriate Nazi-looted art, because it has been confirmed is linked to genocide, the legislation to repatriate them is different than the legislation of cultural heritage of a nation. Do you want me to explain that?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So Nazi-looted art has no statute of limitation. And so that means that even if you find something 50 years later, 70 years later, you can go to the so-called restitution committees. And these are committees that the two disputed parties can go to, and they give you a binding advice as to who should take the antiquity because it's linked to genocide. But when it comes to cultural heritage, we depend on national legislation, which varies from country to country. And we rely on international treaties for the protection of cultural heritage in times of war, which are either signed by countries and not ratified, or part of their protocols are not implemented. So it's much more complicated. It takes long time in court cases, and it's very, very expensive, and it is statute barred in many countries.
We're talking to Tasula Hajitofi. Her book is called The Icon Hunter, A Refugee's Quest to Reclaim Her Nation's Stolen Heritage. We have seen around the world where we have destruction of vital pieces of history. For example, we saw the destruction of the statues at Bamiyan by Al-Qaeda forces and others. We saw the pillaging of antiquities from Iraq. We also know that some of these art pieces are sitting in some of the world's most famous museums. Have you looked at that aspect of stolen art?
Yes, of course I did. Well, first of all, allow me to say that extremists know very well the value antiquities have to ordinary citizens, and this is why they so spectacularly blow them up to because they understand the impact it has on us. But they also know that we are greedy, because we are greedy because we don't know the value and the impact it has to refugees, immigrants, or communities at war. Because if we do not buy them, there will be no need for example, ISIS to have a ministry of antiquities and try to sell those. So not buying them or being very careful when we buy cultural antiquities, it is number one rule. Because, and I'm not against the trade, but I would like to see ethical trade. Now, when it comes to the museums, allow me to say that what happened hundreds of years ago doesn't mean that it should happen today. I am not one who is looking to empty every museum. I think museums are wonderful. They're wonderful places for education, but I would like to see the role of the museums changing. I would like them to be much more interactive. I would like to see more digital museums. I would like to see more the story these antiquities tell for the ethnic civilizations that have been in that territory before. And I think this is the way forward, and we can achieve that. And also to be very, very careful when we buy antiquities from auction houses, dealers, galleries, we have a responsibility when it comes from a disputed area or an area of war to do some homework, because we could be paying good money to finance extremistic and criminal groups.
The Icon Hunter. The president of Cyprus said the Icon Hunter shares the riveting details of Tasula's 30-year journey. The message of the book touches the heart of Christian orthodoxy, yet at a time when the world is ravaged by conflict, it is universal. Cultural heritage belongs to humanity, and there is an obligation to remain vigilant and active against the threat of cultural destruction, looting, and illegal trafficking.
It is on Amazon.com and also in the bookstores, Barnes & Noble. So, yes, and the profits from my book will fund my organization, Walk of Truth, which engages ordinary citizens worldwide to protect cultural heritage in Syria, Iraq, and others.
Tasula Hajitofi. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Take care. Okay.